Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org.
For KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, July 26, 2013, I'm Scott Horton. This is Anti-War Radio. All right, y'all, thanks very much for tuning in. It is Anti-War Radio. I'm your host, Scott Horton. It's been a really good week for interviews on my other radio show. You can find all the interview archives at scotthorton.org. Iran, Egypt, Syria, Palestine, the drone war in Pakistan. Got all that for you there at scotthorton.org. Tonight, our guest is the great Nathan L. Fuller from bradleymanning.org. He's been covering the entire trial, which has wrapped up today. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us, and especially last minute like this. So I guess, first of all, can we start with your summary of the prosecution's closing statement in their case against Bradley Manning?
Yep. So the government took all day yesterday with their closing argument to paint Manning as a traitor. They talked about him as a hacker, an anti-American who had no regard for his fellow soldiers, the flag, classified information. And they tried to talk about, walk through all of their evidence to support that claim. And they really hammered the point home over and over that anti-American, who was a hacker, that he was associating with anarchists, that WikiLeaks were anti-government activists. And so then we heard the countering claims from the defense today.
Well, that's, in a way, it's kind of hilarious because from what we've talked about with you and with the other journalists who've been covering this story, since they finally did deem to even give him one of these so-called trials here, this court-martial, they haven't been able to prove that Bradley Manning was an anti-American, that he was a hacker, that he was a radical, really, of any kind. All of their witnesses have blown up on cross-examination. So what facts were they able to refer to in order to try to paint Bradley Manning as some kind of traitor to America, Nathan?
Well, the only way they could do it is what they did, and they took Bradley's quotes out of context. They cherry-picked pieces of his chat logs with Adrian Lamo, with Lauren McNamara, with Press Association, which is a screen name they say is Julian Assange. And they took bits of those and extrapolated drew pretty big conclusions that weren't really based in fact. And that was the only way that that they could associate Manning with any kind of anti-Americanism, to suggest that he has no regard. They also said that he was incredibly narcissistic and egotistical, that he was just seeking fame and notoriety. Yet at the same time, they were arguing that he sought anonymity, that he wanted to keep himself hidden, he wanted to cover his tracks. So they're having a bit of a tough time with internal consistencies, but then they have an even tougher time backing it up because the defense showed today, showing some full quotes, the evidence didn't really support what they were saying.
Mm. Yes, a very sneaky publicity hound, that Bradley Manning. I see how he is.
Yeah, very sly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, so I'm sorry, we should have started this thing off for people who are just tuning in and maybe haven't caught up. I actually got an email today from a fan of the show who was talking to her nephew, who's in his 30s, who'd never heard of Bradley Manning, had no idea who Bradley Manning even was. So I guess we should stipulate this young man has pleaded guilty to being the American hero who liberated the Iraq and Afghan war logs, the State Department cables, and I take it some papers on Guantanamo Bay, I'm a little bit less clear on what all about Guantanamo he leaked, but he doesn't deny. He is taking full responsibility for all of the actual acts that he's done. The trial is, this military court-martial is to determine whether he's guilty of the charges that he's pleaded not guilty to, and the ones that I also, believe that he is not guilty of. But so, just to try to catch people up a little bit, what exactly is in dispute here, since he does not dispute uploading the Iraq and Afghan war logs and the State Department cables to WikiLeaks.org?
Sure. So what's mainly in dispute is not those basic facts, but what they mean. And the government says that they mean Manning aided the enemy indirectly, attempting to give documents to al-Qaeda by passing them through WikiLeaks. They're also charging him with the Espionage Act, saying that he revealed intelligence information that could have harmed the U.S. He violated the Computer Fraud Act by exceeding his authorized access, and then saying that he stole government property. And the defense has countered each one of those. With the aiding the enemy charge, the government has utterly failed to show that Manning had any interest or idea that al-Qaeda would be getting these documents. All of his comments prior to these releases, even in private, say that he wanted information to be free, reach the public domain, and expose abuses. As far as whether these documents could have harmed the U.S., Manning chose documents that memorialized past events and didn't give sources away. They kept the record of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, so that those were the documents that would better inform the American public. He didn't take top secret information. He didn't take what are called human intelligence reports, which give a lot more identifying information about sources. So if it's clear if Manning wanted to harm the U.S., he certainly could have done so. What he did was expose abuses, expose crimes, and inform us about these wars.
Right. Okay, now, a lot of things about that. I guess, first of all, to backtrack just a bit to the closing statement here and the headlines that came out of the closing statement, I mean, it's tragic because, something terrible is going to happen to young Manning. They're going to put him in prison for some amount of time. But it was kind of hilarious seeing the reports of the government's closing statement and how they're trying to basically just trash Manning and smear him due to the fact that they don't have any facts. They have to resort to the Fox News morning show kind of version of, well, you know what I think might be going on here or something, and just to try to make him look bad or something, because every single one of their witnesses fell apart on them. And so all they have is the smear, and I think that's really a measure of the weakness of their charges, that they were completely unable to prove any nefarious motives here whatsoever. And you referred to the rat, Adrian Lamo, the government informant who sold him out and turned him into to the government in the first place, who had to admit on the stand that, yeah, he's a good kid. He meant well. He stipulated to me repeatedly that he only, as you were just saying, he only wanted the people, the American people especially, to know the truth so that we could use our democracy to do reforms. And, I mean, you really couldn't paraphrase Thomas Jefferson and the free market of ideas and the reason for freedom of speech in our society any better than taking his quotes directly out of those war logs.
Right, and you're right.
The war logs is something else.
So, right, the chat logs. The government started to sound pretty desperate yesterday when they were talking about trying to paint Manning as some kind of narcissist. The only thing they really had was a photograph. They had Manning took a photograph of himself in a mirror when he was home from leave from Iraq. He was in his aunt's house in Maryland. Took a photo of himself, and he was smiling. Maybe he's smiling for the first time in a little while. The government says that this is someone who's so proud of his actions. He's someone so eager for notoriety, craving fame. But the defense pointed out that maybe this is just someone who didn't really fit in the Army. He was going through gender identity issues, and maybe the first time he really felt himself in a long time. This obviously has no bearing on whether he was proud of his actions or whether he was craving notoriety. And so the government really started to sound pretty desperate in that part.
Right. Well, and again, Adrian Lamo, the rat that turned him in, had promised him that he was a minister and a journalist. And so you can extra special double trust me that I will never have to reveal anything that you tell me.
Right. And that, of course, turned out to be false. But Lamo's stats were useful. And when we saw that, he offered, you said, why not sell him to Russia or China? Why not try to make bank? And Manning clearly said these belong in the public domain. This should be public information.
Right. He didn't want his name in the public domain. He just wanted the documents in the public domain. That's simple as that.
And exactly. And the government's working pretty hard to undermine that, but I think they're failing pretty well.
Right. Okay. Now, Again, he has stipulated that he did upload the Iraq and Afghan war logs to State Department cables. I guess I would ask you sort of in parentheses here if you could clarify exactly what it was on Guantanamo that he released there. But then if you could explain the discrepancy or the difference in the charges against him under the Espionage Act and the aiding the enemy charge. Those are two separate things that they're going after him for, that he's pleaded not guilty to both, right?
Right. So first I'll go with the Guantanamo information. These mm-hmm. are detainee assessment briefs. These were basically what Gitmo prosecutors called baseball cards, essentially. Just had biographical information, where this detainee came from. Some of them had how they were captured. And so the government says, oh, this gives away a lot of information. And even if the enemy knew about this already, it tells them how much we know about them. But Gitmo prosecutor, the chief prosecutor, Colonel Morris Davis, took the stand and said these were mostly inaccurate information. A lot of it could be found on open source information. And while they didn't say who in court, I mean, these documents are still classified, so they wouldn't say who the detainees' residents were, but we were able to crowdsource a lot of them. Alexa O'Brien was able to just figure out, based on openly available information, a lot of the detainees they were talking about. So it's not like we gave the enemy any new information by making those public. Instead, we learned a lot more about what our government has been doing in that Cuban detention center. And so then I'll go to the Aiding the Enemy and Espionage Act. Aiding the Enemy is a military offense, but it applies to any person. It's an any person offense. And that it carries a life sentence without parole. It could be a capital offense, but the government seeking this life without parole. And for that, the government has to prove that Manning had actual knowledge that by giving documents to WikiLeaks, he was giving them to Al-Qaeda, our current enemies. Whereas the Espionage Act, each offense there is a 10-year offense, but Manning has several against him. They have to prove that Manning had reason to believe the information he released could be used to harm the U.S. or aid a foreign nation. And as the defense has shown, a lot of this information was already known to the enemy, has not harmed the U.S. in the 3 years since its release. And so Manning was while it's a lot of documents he released, he was actually highly selective. He could have released millions of documents, could have released top secret information, human intelligence reports, but instead he selected documents that would just better inform the public. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm talking with Nathan Fuller from BradleyManning.org, and he has been covering the entire so-called trial here, the court-martial of Bradley Manning, which wrapped up today. And so what you're telling me is the aiding the enemy charge is, or I guess the way for me to think of it is, the Espionage Act charges are sort of along the same lines as the aiding the enemy, but much broader. They wouldn't have to prove that he aided an enemy. Not that we've had our Congress declare war since 1941, but I guess they'd consider, Ayman al-Zawahiri and his group in Pakistan, okay, they're an official enemy of the United States. That would be the aiding the enemy charge if they could somehow twist this to mean that what Manning did benefited Zawahiri. But then the Espionage Act charges, it sounds like you're saying, are much broader, that this could harm the United States or its interests as the government defines them as broadly as I want, I guess. And you're saying that the defense even did a pretty good job of shutting that down. It doesn't even look like they really had a case on the Espionage Act charges, much less the aiding the enemy charges. Am I hearing you right?
Yeah, that sounds right. And it's a much lower standard for what the government has to prove. And I think they've still struggled along the way to prove that. Because a lot of what they've done is just bring rhetoric. They bring large rhetoric to make it sound pretty scary. That Manning's a traitor. Manning released all these documents that he could. He was working for WikiLeaks. One of their favorite phrases is that he systematically harvested information. And yet the evidence shows that he was highly discriminate, cared about his fellow soldiers, and perhaps, unlike some of his fellow soldiers, cared a whole lot about the lives of any innocent civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan. The defense played collateral murder, sections of collateral murder, the video of Apache gunner in Iraq in 2007, in which U.S. forces killed civilians and journalists, and said, look at this through Manning's eyes. There were just nine lives extinguished there, Did they need to die? And that's the way Manning looked at things. He was a humanist, and so that's what separated him from his fellow soldiers.
Right. All right. Now, one of the other things you mentioned there is that under the aiding the enemy charge, that is possibly a capital offense. But you said that the prosecution has announced, I'm not exactly sure your exact words, but they've said one way or the other that they're not seeking that. They're seeking only decades in prison. But what I'm trying to get clarity on here is whether that's an official position that they put on paper, that we are only seeking this. And then I guess the corollary to that would be, does that matter? Could the judge go ahead and sentence him to death anyway? Or is the judge limited by only being as bad as the prosecution wants the judge to be? And then the first part, basically, how official is that statement that they are not seeking the death penalty? Could they take that back at this point? Or not that I'm encouraging them to.
No, it is official. The death penalty is off the table. So the most Manning could receive would be life in prison without parole. And then there are no minimums, so the judge would have wide discretion in how to rule on that. But just as importantly, I mean, that's what's most important for Manning is that he's not going to receive the death penalty no matter what happens here. I mean,
Now, I knew that they had said that.
Essentially that.
Yeah, I knew that they had said that. I just didn't know if it was carved in stone yet or... You know,
it is, but it still sets a highly dangerous precedent. If we're going to convict someone of aiding the enemy, who's to say that, if he was extradited, they don't slap an aiding the enemy charge, since it's an any person offense, on Edward Snowden and then seek the death penalty there or the next Bradley Manning. They're going to set a precedent here if they get the conviction they want, and that will be a capital offense, and that's yet another reason why it's so dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it's interesting that if you look at very official Washington journalism, the Bob Woodwards and the Bill Gertzes and the David Sangers and the people who publish in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Washington Times, based on classified sources all the time, from time to time, they print something that was classified and leaked to them contrary to the interests of what the state would have had them do. Not usually, right? These are the kept reporters, but... we're getting to the point where really even Bill Gertz's sources for writing his pro-war stuff in the Washington Times all the time, they could really be getting in trouble and a couple of more steps down this slope. And Bill Gertz himself, Bob Woodward or David Sanger, these reporters could be charged under the same legal theory. I mean, if it's aiding the enemy for Manning to tell the Post something because the Post might repeat it, then it's a crime for the Post to repeat it, right?
Exactly. But yeah, Bob Woodward could certainly be prosecuted, and we've heard statements from Osama bin Laden telling fellow members of Al-Qaeda to go read Bob Woodward's book because it contains this information that we wouldn't get otherwise. And yet Bob Woodward, of course, is not going to be prosecuted because he's not a whistleblower. He's printing what the government tells him to, essentially. Sometimes that includes top secret information, but whereas Bradley Manning, on the other hand, is releasing documents that don't exactly cast the government in the best light.
Right. Yeah, and I guess, I shouldn't have used Woodward as an example because he would never publish something that he's not supposed to publish. But I guess I was thinking some of these reporters sometimes, they
not
might.
Since the Watergate anyway.
Yeah, the kind of people who normally are in good favor could fall out of it for doing good journalism, and it's a real worry. It's not a worry. And as you've reported, the defense, or I guess the judge, asked the prosecution here, if Bradley Manning had leaked to the New York Times or the Washington Post like he tried to do before he went to WikiLeaks, would you guys still prosecute him as aiding the enemy? And the government said yes, correct?
They said yes, and that's yet another reason. And there are so many reasons why this is such a dangerous precedent, but the fact that, the New York Times and Washington Post are essentially on their way to becoming co-conspirators in this case, and perhaps they would be if they were tried, if Manning had leaked directly to them. But if he had leaked to the New York Times, he could be still convicted of aiding the enemy, and that says a lot about where the state of American investigative journalism is today.
All right, now, I put out a tweet kind of joking around saying that I think maybe there's a general somewhere that loves Bradley Manning and deliberately designed the most ridiculous team of JAG prosecutors to go after him here, since they have done nothing but fail so spectacularly with, I guess, each and every witness they've attempted to call and their cross-examination of the defense witnesses, too. And somebody answered me, who I think has been a journalist who's been attending the trial at least a little bit or something, who pointed out that, yes, in fact, they're very young, the prosecutors, and that, after all, he's been, I guess I'm extrapolating this part out of the argument, he's been held for 3 years without a trial. So new groups of prosecutors have been rotated in and out on this, and they really, it's amateur hour up there on the government side. Is that about right, you think?
They are pretty young. The main few prosecutors have stayed the same, but they had to rotate some of the others, some of the other people working. Public affairs officers have come and gone. So it's been an extremely long case, and that's perhaps part of the reason for this massive incompetence.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I'm no lawyer. That's the other Scott Horton. That's the lawyer. So maybe trials are like this all the time if you ever really have a competent defense attorney. But it's really seemed, as you've reported this story and others have reported this story since the trial began here, like they really never even took a Saturday afternoon to go over their own case and make sure that they thought they were right before they put it before the court. I mean, you have described some very serious allegations of theirs that they thought, oh, yeah, watch me, I'm about to prove this, and then completely blew up in their face in the courtroom. Could you share a couple of those with us?
Sure. Well, I mean, part of the problem is that they charged first and figured out the evidence later, charged Manning with aiding the enemy in March 2011 and then found some of the evidence for it a few months later. Their case for the Skorani airstrike transmission is absolutely collapsed. They've been arguing all along that Manning released this video of an Afghanistan massacre and that they say he leaked it in November of 2009. Defense said he leaked it in April 2010. And the difference is that they're trying to paint him as someone who leaked throughout his entire time in Iraq. And yet their own government witness came on the stand and said, no, the only evidence there is for April 2010 transmission. And so that case has largely fallen apart. And then we'll see if the judge takes their evidence for that, or if she realizes that there's only really evidence for the April one, and she'll rule on that soon. But that's pretty embarrassing in a courtroom.
And then last Friday, during what I thought was rebuttal period, I'm not sure how this works in a military trial at all, but they called a brand new witness and started making a whole brand new angle on the case. Now, this is the prosecution went first, and then the defense got to do their case, and then the prosecution got to rebut, but it didn't seem like they were really rebutting the defense case. They were going off on a whole new angle, but how did that work out for them, Nathan?
Yeah, they tried to frame it as somebody who is talking about state of mind and very narrowly, but actually they were using this witness, supervisor of Manning's, to absolutely malign his motive and perform character assassination. His former supervisor, Julia Showman, said that Manning had no respect for the flag, that he made disloyal to America comments, and that she thought at one point that he was a spy. For the entire cross-examination, it was revealed that she never even wrote that statement down. She wrote less important statements, like Manning had a lot of caffeine and he smoked cigarettes sometimes, but apparently forgot to write down that he had made statements disloyal to America and might be a spy. So I don't really see that evidence holding up very well.
Yeah, well then I guess, you know, the question really does come back to whether this is even really a trial, Nathan. I know it might really seem like one from sitting in the audience, but from here it seems like a show trial, and maybe to you too. Like it's all political, as you said, to come up with the charges first and the evidence later. And it seems to me like they've already come up with their verdict too, and they're going to throw everything they've thrown everything they can at him, and they're going to lock him up for as long as they can for this. Just to try to scare the hell out of everybody else. Not because there's anything right about it at all, but just to try to keep, you know, somebody's cousin out there from deciding to do like Manning and tell the truth about what his boss is up to at the expense of the liberty of the American people.
certainly seems that that's what they're afraid of. They want to set a precedent and more importantly, maybe instill a bit of a chilling effect. And they don't want any future Bradley Mannings. They don't want anyone inspired by him. And they want it known that if anyone tries to do what he did, that they're going to get the full book and then some. They're going to get tortured before trial and maybe wait 3 years before they even see a courtroom. And so they certainly do want to chill this end before it even happens.
Well, you know, it seems like perhaps some of the smearing of Bradley Manning could backfire on the government in this case. They keep attacking his sexuality and all of this stuff, but doesn't that sort of make it seem like, well, geez, if Bradley Manning is brave enough to do some prison time in order to reveal the most important truths to the American people so they can do the right thing with their democracy to reform their government and such like that, as Manning put it in the chat logs, well, then maybe they can too. After all, we're talking about people who are literally risking life and limb for Hamid Karzai and Hekmatyar that skins people alive and helped Osama escape. The least they could do is fight for the American people by leaking some documents.
Absolutely, and I think that is true. The government has made a lot of statements or elicited statements that I think are really going to backfire. Their witness that came in at the end to totally malign Manning's motive, it turns out she had said a lot of homophobic slurs to him in the army. And then the government came on the stand in its closing argument and said, Manning's a traitor. And that's not something that they've proven. They haven't charged him with treason as it's normally known, and yet they say these big statements, and it's really a lot of bluster. And so I think you're right that we're going to have people realize that these are people not to be taken seriously and could be inspired then by Bradley Manning.
Right, because after all, what's he fighting for, right? The system is not working. It needs some correcting, so he blows the whistle. Well, if we live in a society where they can give him a fake trial and go ahead and pretend he's a traitor when we all know he's not and get away with that, well, then they're exactly the society, they're exactly the government worth fighting against, you know, to protect the society from. So what
exactly.
A terrible construction of language, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so get out there and be like Bradley Manning. Like Edward Snowden said, he said he was inspired by what Bradley Manning did. He was willing to take the risk to do the right thing. And Snowden said, I'm going to be like Bradley Manning.
He did. And he said, people like Tom Drake, people like Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden are models for not being complicit in what you're doing and realizing that it's not really good enough to wait for somebody else to do it. You have to step up and do something about it.
All right, well, listen, this is such an important story. It's obviously the most important trial of the decade. Never heard of any other trials going on, have you? Anyway, it's the Bradley Manning trial. It's covered in depth. It's over now. We'll find out very soon what Sunday, the verdict, maybe Monday. BradleyManning.org is the website. You can find all the great journalism of Nathan L. Fuller, and you can follow him on Twitter at Nathan L. Fuller as well. Thank you so much for your time on the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be there. Talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, and that's it for the show tonight. I really appreciate you tuning in. You can find my full interview archive. That's more than 2,900 interviews now going back to 2003 at scotthorton.org, scotthorton.org. And you can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at /Scott Horton Show. That's Anti-War Radio for tonight. We'll be back here next Friday, every Friday, from 6:30 to 7 on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new project, Listen and Think Audio at listenandthink.com. They've got two new audiobooks read by the deepest voice in libertarianism, the great historian Jeff Riggenbach. Our Last Hope, Rediscovering the Lost Path to Liberty by Michael Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center is available now. And Beyond Democracy, co-authored by Frank Karsten of the Mises Institute Netherlands and journalist Carl Beckman, will be released this month. And they're only just getting started. So check out listenandthink.com. You may be able to get your first audiobook absolutely free. That's Listen and Think Audio at listenandthink.com. Hey, all, Scott here, hawking stickers for the back of your truck. They've got some great ones at LibertyStickers.com. Get your son killed, Jeb Bush, 2016. FDR, no longer the worst president in American history. The National Security Agency, blackmailing your congressman since 1952. And USA, sometimes we back Al-Qaeda, sometimes we don't. And there's over 1,000 other great ones on the wars, police state, elections, the Federal Reserve, and more at LibertyStickers.com. They'll take care of all your custom printing for your band or your business at TheBumperSticker.com. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.
Oh man, I'm late. Sure hope I can make my flight.
Stand there.
Me? I am standing here.
Come here.
Okay.
Hands up, turn around.
Whoa, easy.
Into the scanner. Ooh, what's this in your pants?
Hey, slow down. It's just my...
Hold it right there. Your wallet has tripped the metal detector. What's this? The Bill of Rights?
That's right. It's just a harmless stainless steel business card-sized copy of the Bill of Rights from SecurityEdition.com. They're for exposing the TSA as a bunch of liberty-destroying goons who've never protected anyone from anything. Sir, now give me back my wallet and get out of my way. Got a plane to catch.
Have a nice day.
Play a leading role in the security theater with the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's the size of a business card, so it fits right in your wallet, and it's guaranteed to trip the metal detectors wherever the police state goes. That's SecurityEdition.com. And don't forget their great Fourth Amendment socks.
Hey, guys, I got his laptop.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager whose site is unique on the web. Subscribers are allowed a window into Mike's very real main account and receive announcements and explanations for all his market moves. The Federal Reserve has been inflating the money supply to finance the bank bailouts and terror war overseas. So Mike's betting on commodities, mining stocks, European markets, and other hedges against our depreciating dollar. Play along on paper or with real money, and then be your own judge of Mike's investment strategies. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at CouncilForTheNationalInterest.org. Aren't you sick of the neocons and the Israel lobby pretending as though they've earned some kind of monopoly on foreign policy wisdom in Washington, D.C.? These PNAC clowns who've never been right about anything? Well, the Council for the National Interest is pushing back, putting America first, and telling the lobby to go take a hike. The empire's bad enough without the neocons making it all about the interests of a foreign state. Help CNI promote peace. Visit their site at CouncilForTheNationalInterest.org and click Donate under About Us at the top of the page. That's CouncilForTheNationalInterest.org.